Coming up on the Joyful Learning Podcast.
For 1 week or two, it kind of depends on what type of tour you're doing. So for 1 week, we have an average of 30 creators, and we will give the creators advanced copies of the book, and they will read them. And then for that 1 week, these 30 creators will share with their audiences a review of the book, but then we also do like something extra.
So I am here with Kim Poe, and Kim and I have been friends for a few years, and I don't even remember the first time we met, but I know that she's become a very important person in my life, and she has brought me a lot of joy in various capacities, both professionally and personally. So I'm really glad, Kim, that you agreed to talk with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you could just start by telling us a little bit about yourself. So whatever you want to include, whatever you think is important.
Sure. I am an ex-military kid, former failed musical theater major turned librarian. Here we are. That's me in a nutshell.
And one of the Christmas presents you gave me was a magnetic needle holder.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
Because you have come over when we've been doing some sewing and you were crocheting and you thought I needed this, and it has changed my life.
Thank you very much. That was from my theater days doing wardrobe management, and it like collects the needles. Like you can just drop pins or whatever on it and they get sucked up into the magnet, because like when I would do like repairs or whatever on costume pieces, like there was no time to either drop the pins and then you step on them later to shove them in the little tomato.
I have the little tomato and I'm clumsy. So I drop my pins often, and actually I just put that thing upside down and just sucks them up like a vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
And it's fabulous. Like it's fabulous. So thank you for changing my sewing life in that capacity. And so one of the things that I really thought you would be fun and interesting to talk to about is the topic of diversifying our collections. Mm-hmm. We are both librarians. Mm-hmm. A little bit different capacities and experiences, but mm-hmm. nonetheless, we really bond and connect over that. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you're involved in your outside life is a really cool project that I always love to hear about. And it's called Hear Our Voices. It's a digital book tour company. Could you just tell us a little bit about your work with them, what they're about, what they do, and why you think it's important?
Yeah, totally. So Hear Our Voices is a virtual or digital book tour company. So if you are on Instagram or things and pay attention to bookstagrammers, a lot of them are involved in various virtual book tour companies. So what we do is, what a virtual book tour company does, I guess I'll start there, is they identify books that haven't been published yet, so pre-pub books, and they might reach out to the publishers or the author and say, hey, we'd like to host a tour for this book. And if the publisher and or author agrees, then the company will go out and find X number of, we in Hear Our Voices call them creators. So they might have blogs, they might have Instagrams, they might be really active on Twitter. And for 1 week or two, it kind of depends on what type of tour you're doing. So for 1 week, we have an average of 30 creators, and we will give the creators advanced copies of the book and they will read them. And then for that 1 week, these 30 creators will share with their audiences a review of the book, but then we also do like something extra. So there might be some creators who will do a journal page or make a playlist, or we even have folks who do author interviews, especially if they have like a blog. They might like redo the cover, like dress up like the character or something. So it's something engaging, but also a review of the book. And so what that does is you take these 30 creators and multiply it by their following, right? So their audience that they reach, and that is extra reach for this book, for this author, and for these publishers. And where Hear Our Voices kind of has like a little bit of a niche is we only work with marginalized books and authors. So some of the tours that we have coming up, some sort of like some things I can talk about and other things I can't. We might have a Black author and Black creator. And what we do is we have a database. Currently our database is about 300 people. We have a database of people and we will send information like, hey, do you want to be on this tour? If the book is a Black book by a Black author, we will send it to our Black creators first and we will give them first shot to sign up. If the book is about an LGBT character from an LGBT identifying author, that's the portion of our creators that we reach out to. So in this time of publishers and authors trying to sort of expand their reach to marginalized communities, we do that on purpose. So it's not just that we try to host tours about marginalized books by marginalized authors. Our creators are those creators that otherwise might not have the same opportunities because maybe their numbers were lower than a white creator or something like that. So that's sort of our niche, and we're working hard.
That's very cool and very necessary and hard work. And based on what you were saying, one of my questions that I have is, are there any gaps in your creator database? Like, who are you hoping will join you in the future?
What I can tell you is that the creators, they're pretty vocal about what it is that they want and what they want seen. So when we first relaunched, so Here Our Voices launched, I believe, in 2020, and I learned about them because I was one of their creators. So I was on their tours. I'm not an original member of the original team. And then they kind of took a break. Like, they were like, hey, we're taking a break. COVID, just lots of going on. And so when they stepped back, I actually sent an email and I was like, hey, I love what you guys do. I think it's really important. If there's ever anything I can do to help, sort of, it started out with 6 people on the team and dropped to 2. So if there's ever anything I can do to help, let me know, happy to help. When they decided to relaunch, that's when they reached out to me. And so now I'm one of the 6 team members on the team. But when we relaunched, you know, we sort of sent an email out to all the followers on the Instagram, like, we're coming back, like, here we are. And then our creator database opened and we're like, here's our database, like, it's open, sign up. Because that's the database we use to announce, well, not to announce the tours, but to announce the signups first. So the people in our database get first dibs before we just like post the sign up link on Instagram or Twitter or something like that. So when we signed up the creator database, we have a bunch of things that you can select. So you can select that you are a Black person, that you are a member of the LGBT community, that you are disabled, that you are Hispanic, that you are Asian or whatever. And then we left a section in the bottom for you to sort of provide us additional information. So if you selected that you were an immigrant, you know, someone might say, I am a immigrant. I moved here when I was 9 from Syria and blah, blah, blah. Like, people really put a lot of... they really put a lot of like time and attention and detail into explaining who they were and why they made the selections that they made. And what we noticed was that immediately people sent emails or sent messages to the Instagram like, hey, you don't have anything for plus size people. Like, are you guys planning to have any plus size books? Like, are you going to reach out to plus size creators first? Like, where's that? That was like the first one that, I mean, they blew up our Instagram messages for. And so we were like, okay. So we went in, we added plus size and we said, hey, we have that now. So if you want to go back in or message us and let us know that that is also an identifying group that you fall into, we'll go ahead and do that too. So right now I'm trying to think what we don't have a lot of. We have a lot, quite frankly. I'm hoping to find, we also gave people the opportunity to identify the types of books that they prefer to review. Adult books, young adult, middle grade, picture books, and that kind of thing. I really wish we had more picture book reviewers in there. I think sometimes in communities like this, it's so easy to get caught up in the aesthetic of your Instagram and things like that, or maybe to think about the books that you are interested in, which of course we should always do, only read the books that you love, life is too short. But to take the time, this is something that we do as librarians, and think about like, what about the children, right? Like the youths, think about the youths.
Keep kids at the center. That's what we're always told as librarians in the school. Kids at the center.
I wish we had more people who are willing to read picture books, if not for themselves or for their own children, but for marginalized children across the country. And we are international, so across the world. I think we need more, we definitely need more Indigenous reviewers. That is something that we are seriously lacking, and it's understandable, right? There has been so much done to different portions of the community, right? Like so many ways in which folks have been burned that it's hard to have faith and trust anyone. And I don't know if that is what's happening, but I would not be surprised if it was. So I really wish that we had more Indigenous reviewers, because then not only could we seek out in books by Indigenous authors and about Indigenous people, we can get them into the hands of the reviewers who have more similar lived experiences than those who are not a part of a Indigenous community, because we do know that it is not a monolith, that different portions of the Indigenous community have different cultures and different experiences and things like that. So I'd really love to see that number rise at some point.
And that's interesting, because from my perspective as a middle school teacher librarian, I also feel that the Indigenous focused themed books, authors, that is something that not a lot of librarians spend a lot of time thinking about.
Yep.
And having grown up in Minnesota, Indigenous culture is a very central part of Minnesota. Minnesota is an Indigenous word, mm-hmm. where it comes from. And that's something I've focused on since college, mm-hmm. and the literature, and really evaluating and looking at, is this an authentic representation? Is this a positive representation? Who is writing these stories? Mm-hmm. Are they accepted in the Native communities in which they are being told about? So I've spent a lot of time kind of in this area. So I'm really hopeful, mm-hmm. that maybe people who are listening will tune into this, and maybe you'll get some more interest in people who are identifying as Indigenous in some way. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, at the end, I would like to probably add some different authors for middle grade, because that's my jam, as you know.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of really great titles that are out there now. Yeah. We still need a lot more.
We do.
But it's been a little better in the last year or two for mm-hmm. selection when I am adding new books to my middle school library every year.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that it continues this trend, and that the doors open to more authors that have an Indigenous background. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that. So one of the other questions I had is, what is your specific role with this work that you are doing? Like, what is you're one of the six, you said. So tell us what you do.
I'm the logistics coordinator. We kind of made that up. But when you think about it, it's just kind of the person with the big picture. So my like normal life background, ironically enough, in particular, my musical theater background, I'm very used to looking at the big picture and looking at like sort of the whole scene of something, and then figuring out how to get us from where we are to whatever that end scene is. So there are a lot of steps and processes to getting this done, even when we were relaunching. So because we are a company, there is like a small fee to the publishers and or authors. So it's like, well, how much do we charge? It's like, okay, well, we got to think about like, what are other tour companies doing? Well, we want to make sure that self-published and independent authors and indie authors are able to access our services as well. We don't want to create a price point that cuts out portions of the community that we are trying to uplift and elevate. So how do we do that, right? So that's something that I was a big part of. We also had a small disaster about a week ago with one of the platforms that we were using, when they essentially were like, thank you so much for trying our platform, but you can't use this anymore. And we were like, what? And so when that happened, I was in like New Hampshire, and one of the team members was just sort of like, blowing up the Discord, like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. Like, this happened. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And that was our creator database, where I said, we've got about 300 creators. It's super important that we're able to keep that as organized as possible. So I was like, I'm in New Hampshire. Let me call you when I get there. So I drove 3 hours from New Hampshire back to my house, dropped all of my things, opened Discord, and was like, meet me in the lounge, so that we could figure out how to fix this. And we found another platform, I want to say in like 20 minutes, and had to spend a day and a half moving all 300 creators from one database to another. So part of that is, you know, again, what do we need this for? What is our end goal for it? what other things do we need and whatever the replacement is in order for us to do this job as efficiently as possible. And I said, I'm an ex-military kid, efficiency. As my dad, who probably won't ever hear this, but maybe, always says, prior proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. So that's kind of how I go into everything that I'm doing.
We will add that to the show notes.
That's how we go into things. When we first started, we were using two softwares to do a job that I was able to find one software to do, again, efficiency. Instead of bouncing between two different platforms, we were able to find one platform to do the same job. And if I'm not mistaken, for cheaper than the other two. So that's kind of how I come at things. I'm not the bookstagrammer. Like, that's not me. If we need to fill a tour, I'm not the person who's got like the relationships to other bookstagrammers to be like, hey, do you want to be on this tour? That's not me. That's not my vibe. But I am someone who can sort of look at some of those larger bits and get those together. And the CEO of Hero Voices calls me her right hand man. So that's sort of where I sit within that.
Everybody needs a Kim in their life.
You know,
for so many reasons.
You do.
I'm just saying.
I mean, there's not a lot of us, so good luck to you all.
I'm glad I have one. I'm glad you are in my life, Kim, for real. So two additional questions for now. So if I am an author, mm-hmm. a marginalized author out there in the world listening to this right now, mm-hmm. what do I do to get my book to you?
You go to hearourvoices.me and fill out our onboarding form, our tour form. It's as simple as that. Now, some folks have reached out to us via email. Our email exists. And so some folks have reached out to us that way. Has anyone reached out to us through Instagram yet? I don't think so. But some folks have sent us an email. Other folks have just found the form on the website and filled it out. And so essentially what that form asks for are, you know, things like author, title, book cover. We also ask for trigger warnings because we use mm-hmm. a lot of that information when we are putting together the tour signup form. So they'll ask for, we'll ask for trigger warnings. We'll ask for, you know, what kind of service or is it that you want from us, because we'll do book tours, but we'll also do like cover reveals, right? So if you kind of don't want to do a tour, you think you're okay with that, and you just want to do a cover reveal that, you know, spans X amount of people, that's something that we can do for you also. So people can go through and kind of identify that. And then that automatically goes to one of our platforms that we all obsessively have on our phones and sort of look at constantly. And then we'll reach out to you. Or again, people can send us an email directly.
Awesome. That's very cool. And if I am a reader who would like to be part of your community and be one of the stops on your book tour, tell us a little bit about what that looks like.
Yeah, so the first group of people that we reach out to are in our creator database. And you can sign up to be a part of that also through our website here, ourvoices.me, voices with that E-S. Again, in there, you know, we'll ask for certain things. And we also recently added educator to that. So again, what about the children? we want to make sure, particularly when we're doing, picture books or middle grade books or YA books, that we are tapping into teachers and librarians and homeschoolers and things like that. Because while, like, I am a big reader of YA, I think because it fills kind of a little hole in my heart that wasn't filled when I was, you know, in the 90s reading, you know, Boxcar Children. We want educators as well as, sort of these other marginalized groups, because we want to make sure that ultimately these books get to where they need to be. We want to vote with our dollars and with our voices, right? That's sort of what we're encouraging. So again, here are voices.me, and that will give you first dibs at the books that we are releasing for the identifying groups that you identified when you signed up for the database. After that, once everyone who's interested and has sort of the time and mental space has signed up for those, then we open them up on our Instagram page predominantly. We do have a Twitter presence, but our presence is much bigger on Instagram. So I think that's Hear Our Voices blog tours. Maybe
we'll confirm and then we'll put it in the show notes for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. A couple more questions. So what recently have you read that is just really resonating with you? Not okay. to put you on the spot.
No, it's fine. Because I can actually tell you because I read it because it's not a secret because we've been, it's open and announced that it's, wait, is it open and announced? It's on our door. Let me think about that before I say it. Yeah, totally. In fact, okay. I think we just closed it recently. So we are, our first tour launches on September 26th. That is when you'll begin to see the people sort of post their reviews and their other things. We actually are going to have two tours running simultaneously. That happened all on its own. That was not part of the plan. we do accept up to 6 tours a week, so it's totally fine. But The Door of No Return by Kwame Alexander.
I have that on my counter over there.
Prepare your heart and soul.
I did have a friend who said it was the best book she ever read.
I think I don't post on Twitter as much as I should, but I definitely posted it. And I think I said, like, I'm distraught or something. I don't remember what it was that I posted, but whatever it was very emotionally filled. Oh. And that book, I read it in one night. In fact, me and the CEO, her name is Natalia, we read 2 books in one night. Mm-hmm. And I started off with 2 books that have been sent out prospectively for tours where folks had reached out to us. So I started off reading that one while she was reading another one. We were both in Discord together. And I'm a talker while I read. Like, I will talk to nothing, to my plants, I guess, or like my yarn. And, I'm reading them, I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh, you suck. Oh my gosh. And she's like, what? What happened? What? And so then she would make noises for the book. And I'm like, what happened? And she's like, what? Who? What? What's going on? But the thing was, I didn't actually read what that book was about before I read it. I just opened it. Mm-hmm. Like the publisher had reached out to us and was like, are you interested? And it is our company policy that we reread anything in advance. We have at least 2 members from our team read a book before we commit to the tour. We want to know what it is that we are committing to and that we are promoting and that we are helping to put out into the world. So I was told to read the press release. I was told to read the back of the book and I did neither of these things. Because rules are hard. So I just opened the book and started reading because I went into this with no knowledge. I knew who Kwame Alexander was and that is all I knew.
Wow, that's brave. And I have to say that's brave.
And it took a turn. A turn. And when that turn happened, I was like, whoa. And Natalia was like, what? And I was like, hi, what? Wait. It was, my life is forever changed.
Just okay, so horrible. I think tonight, I might just read this book. Okay, I might. And guess what? This book is even signed. I got to meet him in person in real life again at ALA. Did you? You were there, girl.
I don't know what I was doing during that time.
There is no line. I walked up. I got my book signed. I walked away. And I was, I am a very big fan of all of Kwame's work. And my middle schoolers eat his stuff up. Like, I cannot keep it on the shelves.
Prepare your middle schoolers' little hearts and souls.
Well, I'm very excited. And this will be a book that I'm going to be book talking next week when I have 8th grade book talks. And they will be very excited.
Like, nothing will ever. I just wasn't ready, Kwame. I just wasn't ready.
Well, we're going to be tweeting at him when this episode goes live. And he better be listening is all I have to say.
Thank you for your work. It was great. I'm broken forever, but it was great.
Oh, I'm so excited now. Like, even more so. This has been very highly anticipated, and it's coming soon. Like, I literally think I might read it tonight.
Good. I did.
But tell me more about your journaling, because you've told me bits and pieces, and I am fascinated about this part of your life.
Oh, my gosh. So I wouldn't say that I've been a journaler, but I've always been a planner. And when I say a planner, I don't necessarily just mean someone who like plans for the future. I mean, I had that planner, like the one that we all got in school.
Yes.
And you had to write your assignments planner. In it. Yeah. And the only thing that I hated about it was that you had to have your parents like sign it at the end of the week or some trash.
Oh
like
my
that.
Gosh. I was a teacher who made students do that in 5th grade.
Rude. So I am that person. I loved that planner. I didn't do sports or anything, but like I said, as I've said multiple times, I'm a failed theater major. So which I started in college, I'd keep my rehearsals in there and I'd keep like my things. And I always use a paper planner, but in March of 2020, when we had nothing to do, I wound up getting like, I don't know, like 12 pen pals or something like that. That just kind of like happened in an Instagram post one day, which sounds like it's not true, but it is.
I've seen the fruits of your labor. Oh, yeah. It's real.
They're very real. It takes a lot of time. But I saw people like doing digital planning and I was like, what is this? And what did it for me was that you could buy like digital stickers for your planner. And I spent like $75 in the dead of night once on Etsy buying stickers. And I was like, we need a new plan. So I was like, well, if I start this digital thing, then I only have to buy them one time and I can use them forever. So then like my stickers can be for my pen pals and I can try this digital planning. And I'm trying digital planning when no one's planning anything. Like there's nothing to do. But I was like, this sounds like a good thing to do in 2020, because why not? And I just did. And so I just started looking at what people were doing. And of course I'm on team Android. So the one software that everyone uses is something that's only available on Apple things. So I had to do some hunting to figure out like a good platform. And as I fell deeper and deeper into this world on Instagram, I was like, look at that digital planner. That one's really cool. And so I downloaded one from, I believe, Luxbook Planners, a Black-owned business. I always try to support Black-owned businesses and marginalized businesses. And I downloaded it, and it was so cool. And I'm like, oh man, look at these stickers she has. And so that's what I do now. So what I used to do in paper planning, I now do digital planning. So not only do I keep track of like, you know, my meetings and stuff, of which there are abundance of, and programs, but I can also like decorate things with like, because I can't draw to save my life. So I can decorate them with like little collages and montages, and I get all these digital stickers, which I also spend an ungodly amount of money on in the middle of the night on Etsy. I'm able to focus not only on like the day-to-day and weekly planning, which I need to do just because of the sheer like volume of things that happen in my life often, but you know, I'm able to build a gratitude journal into it. So it's not just a planner, it's a gratitude journal. I'm able to kind of have a book journal in there. It's digital, so I can make it exactly what I want to be and as big or as small as I want, as well as keeping track of my big projects. So
well, that's awesome. And we'll get some details in the show notes offline. I will get some of these websites that she's talking about. And I am just so grateful, Kim, that you've spent some time with us on this podcast. And like I said in the beginning, you bring me a lot of joy. I love hanging out with you. I love hearing your ideas, your enthusiasm, your passion. And I'm just really grateful for all the work you're doing to make the world a better place in publishing and in readers' lives. And we have a lot of work to do as a society, and we all need to do it. But I'm so glad you are involved in the ways that you are. So thank you.
Thank you. Just, you know, doing the best we can. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.